Hello. This is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show. Say what? When? Where? And that question I've asked my whole life, why? And during my life, I have found some answers to some of these questions. Just sort of being a journalist my whole life, you know, my whole career has been as a writer. Today I write wedding ceremonies and scripts for this show. And tonight I wanted to talk about change. That word change, I thought we might look at what can we change, or are there things that don't ever change, or what would we like to change, and what would we like to maybe keep the same if we could? Well, the word change in the dictionary means to become different, to make something or someone different, to become something else. And breaking away from sameness, duplication, or exact repetition. So some other words for change are alteration, transformation, variation, and then just a whole lot of re's, you know, redoing, refurbishing, remodeling, revision, revamping, reviewing, revising, and reworking. Because this word change is a verb, and it implies action. So other ways we could say change would be to modify, to deform, to distort, to rectify, to amend, to correct, to convert, to reform, to shift, to replace, to substitute, to adjust, to regulate, to redesign, or our new age word, to tweak. So all of us really are dealing with change all the time, some way or another. If it's just getting four quarters for a dollar so that we can put money in the parking meter, or altering the way we drive to work to avoid traffic, or remodeling our house, or replacing a new battery in our car. The Buddha said that all we could really depend on was change, that nothing is permanent, all things change. Well, last week I visited the Grand Canyon. We did take that Grand Canyon train out of Williams, Arizona, over to the Grand Canyon. And I had not visited the Grand Canyon since 1955. When my husband had graduated from law school, and we then had to do 2 years of military service, and he was ordered to report to duty in the Judge Advocate General's Division of Parks Air Force Base in California. So we drove out to California from Indiana, and we made a stop at the Grand Canyon on the way. Actually, you know what? That trip for me was an experience of the song America the Beautiful. From the golden waves of grain in Kansas to the Purple Mountain majesty in Colorado to the Grand Canyon and then to the Pacific Ocean, from sea to shining sea. You know, you can sing that song for 22 years. I was 22 years old when I made this trip. I've been singing that song for 22 years. But I didn't really have any idea what I was singing about until I saw the wind make those golden waves of in the wheat fields of Kansas and Nebraska. And when you come up upon those awesome Rocky Mountains, you know, you drive across the eastern part of Colorado, which is flat and kind of desert-like, and then all of a sudden I began to see in the distance. I just couldn't figure out what it was I was seeing. I thought, what is that? What is that? And we got closer and closer, and there they were, the Purple Mountain's majesty. And then we got to the Grand Canyon, and it is a sight that you can just hardly take in. And then way down there in the bottom of the canyon was this tiny little sliver of a river, and all I could do was marvel. That tiny river made this huge canyon? Even today, I marvel at that Colorado River. You know, it supplies almost all the water we use here in Southern California. Well, I do have to say that 58 years later, when I went to see it last week, it looked like it had not changed at all in 58 years. You know, it still looked the same as I remembered seeing it when I was 22 years old. That same beautiful hues of colors, those reds and oranges and purples and blues and greens and yellows rainbowing around on those walls of the canyon. That same tiny little stream of the Silver Colorado River way, 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 way down at the bottom of that canyon. But I felt a comfort looking at that canyon this time. I guess there are some things that do not seem to change. Now, I know there are changes going on all the time in that canyon. As my sister took a week trip through the canyon, this was some number of years ago, with a professional guide and 15 other people, and they walked during the day and camped at night. And at the end of the 7 days, when they were supposed to be back at home base, they were not. Now, this was before cell phones, so I don't remember what the means of communication the guide had with home base, but home base did know and had the information that there had been a rock slide, and they had to go a full day around it to get through, and they spent an extra night on the canyon floor. And the guide felt like he could get them out with any additional help from the home base. And my sister said she wasn't scared, that she trusted the guide and she felt like she was safe. And she said that the nights in the canyon were so awesome that she didn't mind spending an extra night on the trail. Some stuff is happening in that canyon all the time. But overall, and just looking at it last week and not having seen it in 58 years, it just looked still exactly the same to me. And it made me feel safe and peaceful in a world that seems to just be whirling almost out of control. Those strong, solid rock walls of the canyon just looked benevolently reassuring. What is it about change that seems fearful and makes us want to resist? Why do we resist change? I remember everybody in my family was texting, and I still just had my own phone where you had to do the ABC and the DEF to make a message, and it took forever. And everybody kept saying to me, get a smartphone, get a smartphone. And I was very resistant to it because I knew that I was going to have to learn how to use it. I knew how to use my old phone. It was familiar and it was easy to do. And I didn't know if I was up to advancing into the new technology. But you know what? Now I'm as good at it as anybody. And even though I was adamant at the beginning about not running my business on my smartphone, today, I am just as able to respond to a text from a bride who seeks information about her beach wedding on my phone as I am on the computer. And actually, I have a lot more freedom now having the smartphone because I don't have to be in my office to do business or take deposits. And I just had a great texting conversation with my sister this morning. We were exchanging pictures of our Madeline's, because both of our grandbabies are named Madeline. And talk about change. These babies grow up right before our very eyes, it seems, changing every day. Well, getting Windows 8.1 has been a challenge, and sometimes don't you think these changes are made on purpose, just so we have to get a different operating system? Otherwise, we would just stay with the familiar. Why did I have to get rid of XP? I just loved it. And I'm finding that Windows 8.1 is not compatible with a lot of older software I have. For instance, I can't get my lifetime software package I bought to update my Garmin to work. And none of my older game CDs will run. It all feels like a conspiracy to me. But I wanted to do this show tonight on the word change because of the times we are living in since 12/21/12. Because that date, 12/21/12, was a big turning point in our life here on Earth. We ended a huge cycle of millions of years, and now it's time to make changes. And we are certainly seeing just about everything we've taken for granted or depended upon or thought was true or believed was true. It's all changing. And the first reaction almost always to change is resistance, because instinctively I think we all believe that change is going to cause us trauma, that change causes chaos. Change isn't always for the better. Change is challenging. Change means we're going to have to do something different. And you know what that word different means? Peculiar, offbeat, diverse, various, altered, clashing, contrary, inconsistent, at odds, like night and day, mismatched, poles apart, unalike, unsimilar. And if you heard this, most of those words that are synonyms for the word different are pretty negative, and a lot of them are very scary. We would be more comfortable with words like standard, usual, harmonious, unified, the same, common, normal, ordinary, uniform, and conventional. And because we like these kinds of words better, we do resist change. But you know, today there's just hardly anything that's normal. There's hardly anything that's ordinary anymore. There's hardly any conventions that are standing any tests or challenges. So we're just going to have to get used to change. So is change good? Is change bad? Well, you know, here is where we have the say-so. Because we are the one who's going to, first of all, decide to change something or make a change, and it'll be our decision if the change is good or bad. So what can we change? What can't we change? Do you feel like you don't have any say-so about what is happening, either in your own life or in the life here, your life, in all of life here on planet Earth? So change is a verb, it implies action, but when all we're hearing all the time about all of this terrible stuff that's going on, don't you just sometimes feel like just turning off the radio, holding your ears and not listening to it at all? I mean, what can we do about it to change it? What can I do about abusive women and children in the world? What can I do about the chemtrails? What can I do about the national debt? It all seems so overwhelming. What can just one person do to change anything? Well, that's also why I wanted to do this show, because we need to take a look at this. What can we change? I want to say right here and now, actually, there is nothing that we can't change. And just one person makes a difference. On my show last week, I said, let your difference make the difference. Change is making a difference. So what can we change? Well, a couple weeks ago, I did a show I called In the Fog. And I said that life today was kind of like all of us are in the fog right now, like we're out in a boat out on the ocean, and all we can see right now is just what's in our own boat. And actually, the pressures are increasing on any emotional dramas that are going on in our life. It's to bring us in our attention to it and allow us to focus on it. Because what you have the power to change anything that's in your boat. So who's in your boat? Is there a person in the boat with you? Do you love that person? And do you want to be with that person? And what do you do? Do you have a job? Do you like your job? Do you have the ability to use all of your gifts and your talents in your job, or do you just do it because you feel like you have to and you just do what you're told? Well, these are two things you can change if you want to. You can change to either still be with that person or make a change and not be with that person. And you can choose to keep the job you have, or you can make a change in your job. So these are two things you can change. What else can we change? Well, you can change your diet. You can change what you eat and drink. Now, my oldest daughter went with me to the Grand Canyon, and she decided on this trip to change what she drinks, because she was drinking up to 4 to 6 cans of Diet Pepsi every evening. And she had just gotten a report from her doctor that the aches and pains in her joints were arthritis. And I suggested that maybe the aspartame in the Diet Pepsi was contributing to this inflammation that was causing the arthritis pain. And so she decided to quit drinking Diet Pepsi and to drink water. And I suggested that she put a little sugar and some sea salt in her water bottle, because that touch of sweet will be helpful in her making the transition, and the salt in the water will help her body use the water to hydrate her cells rather than just peeing it all out. And as she drank the water all week on our trip, she wasn't very hungry, because you know, usually what we're really craving when we crave food is really hydration. So satisfying the craving by eating is a slower process of hydration and makes for far too many calories to get the water that we need. So since she was properly hydrated, she thinks this could maybe also help her lose some weight. Because as is always the case, if you make just one tiny little change, that little change has a domino effect. And speaking of ourselves, here's another area where we can make change. Because in the womb, when the two cells, the sperm and the egg, come together to start to make a body for our soul, those first two cells use a process that's called epigenetic change. And it is the process of cellular differentiation, because that single fertilized egg cell, it's called a zygote, just continues to divide. And the resulting daughter cells change into all of the other different cell types in an organism. You know, and the body knows how to take just four letters of DNA and make a liver and a heart and a bladder and muscles, blood and ears and eyes and teeth and everything else we have in our body. And that all just comes from just two cells coming together and then this process of cellular differentiation. Well, if the body did it once, then it knows how to do it. It doesn't ever forget. So if we need to change the cells of our body knows how to do it. So all we need to do is to accept this as a fact and believe that it is possible and then allow that process to work for us through setting and intention. And taking this thought to the nth degree, this is how we can become immortal, by transdifferentiation, just like the immortal jellyfish. Because you know what? If there's just one thing here on Earth that is doing it, and there is, the jellyfish, then it's a process that is available to all of us. And that is true of any process that's operating here on the earth. If just one person or one thing is doing it, it is available to all. You know, I know we hear about the gap between the rich and the poor and gender inequality and all these other things that might suggest that some things are available to some people and but not to everybody. But this isn't true. Information is gathered and reported, and it might be used to prove what might be true, but I always remember what my mother said, the majority is usually wrong. Even though a report says that there is 9% unemployment in our country, that doesn't mean that you can't get a job. As my daughter and I were visiting, well, we were visiting in Williams last week where we took the train to go to Grand Canyon. Even in this town of 3,000 people, there were jobs available. My granddaughter is the manager of the biggest restaurant in town there, and she had just hired four people last week, a daytime bartender, two servers, and a busboy. So just because a report says that something is true, it doesn't mean that it's true totally, because one person makes a difference. And there was a time when my other granddaughter decided she wanted to work for Lexus. She loved that car, so she said, I would love to work for the Lexus automobile agency in town. Well, they weren't running any ads or had any, there wasn't any news that there was a position available there, but she went and made an appointment with the personnel director and told him that she loved Lexus and that she would like to be a part of their organization, and she told him she had been working at an auto parts supply place, so she had quite a bit of knowledge about cars. And so what happened here was there wasn't any job posted yet, but at the management level of that company, they had been discussing the fact that they needed a part-time person in the parts department and that they maybe could use another person as a service rider part-time. So what they decided to do was to hire her full-time. And she worked part-time in the parts department and part-time as a service writer. She got the job that she desired. And that's what we can do. We can just set our intention. We can go out there and knock on the door and manifest the desires of our heart. So now perhaps some of you know that I am a writer, and today I write wedding ceremonies. in this radio show script. But several years ago, I had a small writing office in San Diego for 2 years, and 50% of my business was developing resumes for people looking for jobs. And sometimes people also need to have their resumes updated for their personnel files to reflect their progress in the company. And I did 3 significantly representative resumes that tell the story of this American dream, that we can create whatever we want here. The first was a man who started out selling popcorn at the local movie theater when he was 17 years old. And I was doing his resume that was to be put into his personnel file, showing that today he was now the manager of a 21-plex movie complex. The second man started out as a teller at the bank, and his personnel file now will show that he is the bank manager. And the third person's story is the same as my granddaughter. She started out as a server, and now she is the manager. So if you need a job, perhaps where you can make your first change is in any idea you have about what kind of a job you're willing to take. Because every job has the potential of becoming whatever you want it to be as you continue to express yourself and demonstrate who and what you are. And if you don't like your present job, don't be afraid to make a change. Even the smallest change has a tremendous domino effect. Just go within yourself and think about what you would love to do. Go into your heart, because written on the walls of your heart is your life purpose. If you need some help doing this, you can go to an intuitive development counselor. I used heart math to help me. I worked with Euphrasia, and you can too. Her telephone number is 831-338-3779. And her program is called Voyage to Heart Intelligence, and it's just outstanding. Because did you know the heart has its own brain and its own nervous system? And when you get heart-centered rather than ego, right-left brain influenced, then you can make decisions from the heart intelligence that will create changes for you in your life that'll be perfect. And they'll not only be perfect, but there will be a method and a rhythm that we can do it easily, really pretty effortlessly. Trust me on this, because what I learned is that we are the ones who make life so much harder than it really has to be. I've created my life to be hard because I believe that I had to work hard, that everything was hard. And I remember when I worked for the Blue Mountain Arts Greeting Card Company, one day, UPS delivered this huge package to my office, and my boss called and said, "Did UPS bring in the display case?" And I said, "UPS delivered a huge package here to my office this morning." He said, and so he said, "Okay, open it up and put it together." Well, I looked at that box and I thought to myself, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is too hard. I couldn't even see how I was going to get the box open, let alone put anything together. So I got out some scissors and I started working on the box. It was hard. I was getting a blister. But I finally got one end of the box opened, and I was exhausted. And I looked inside. I just couldn't believe it. Here were plastic bags filled with parts. Oh, wait, here's a diagram. 4 pages? Oh, I just sighed. This is so hard. And I got all the plastic bags out of the box and had them all spread out all over the office, and I heard the door open, and there was my boss, and he looked at me, and he just laughed. He says, "You look frazzled." I said to him, "I can't do this. This is just too hard." And he said to me, "Sure you can do it. Just change your mind about it. Don't look at it and think, I can't do this. Don't look at it and think, this is too hard." He said, "Just look at this and think, I am going to put this display together, and you will be able to do it, and it won't be hard." And then he went into his office whistling. Well, sitting there on the floor, I decided to change my mind about this. I was encouraged that if he thought I could do it, that then maybe I could do it. He wouldn't ask me to do something that was impossible, would he? It just seems impossible. It just seems too hard to me. So I closed my eyes and I said to myself, I can do this. This is not hard. And I opened up my eyes and took the diagram into my hands and started with step one. You know what? That's how we make any change. We start with step one. You can't start with step two or step three. You need step one before you can get steps two and three to work. So all change starts with step one. And before you know it, I had that display case all put together. Now, there was this one little part that didn't work quite right. And this was the whole reason for the exercise, because this was a new display case that was going to be sent out to all of their customers all across the country. And the people who run each and every one of these stores, thousands of them, were going to have to put this display case together. And this display case I had just put together was the first prototype. And my boss wanted to make sure that it worked right. So he made his notes of what to tell the manufacturer. And, of course, several weeks later, another display case was delivered to my office, and yes, I put it all together, and this time I just whizzed right through everything, and everything went perfectly, and he ordered thousands of them to be sent out to all of the customers. So change starts within ourselves. All outward change starts with an inward decision to make the change. And you have the power to change anything in your own life, anything. Nothing is set in stone. Even though those rock walls of the Grand Canyon looked like they hadn't changed at all, I know that there have been rock slides and earth movements going on all the time in that canyon. Even those mile-high, solid rock walls of the Grand Canyon are changing every day, minutely perhaps, but nevertheless, there is constant change. And no matter how trapped you might feel in your boat in the fog right now, you aren't. You have the right and the power to change anything in your boat. Anything. Call Euphrasia and get started working on changing anything that you are unhappy with. You can change anything and everything if you want to. But can we change another person? No. We can only change ourselves. When it comes to another person, What we can change is the way we think about that person. And if there's been a grievance, we can forgive them. But if there's been an altercation of some kind, a betrayal or an abuse or it's a wrongful action, we can just release ourselves from the person and release the action by the person. And then we can just choose to not be in relationship with them. We don't want to keep anything inside of us that is in the realm of resentment or bitterness or regret, because those places where we have been hurt by people that we trusted or people who let us down, people who took advantage of us or people who forced their will upon us, these areas of experience where we've been traumatized, bruised, hurt, and abused, we need to go into those areas and release out those feelings. And this is the biggest change that you can make in your life right now that will give you the most benefit. And I can tell you that there is an increased amount of power, a great increase in the amount of power for change that is available to us right now. Now, I know how hard this is going to be for you because my daughter, my youngest daughter and I are going through this right now because she was sexually abused by a family member at age 7. And because this family member was part of the patriarchal system in place in our family, we just didn't know what to do about it. The family member seemingly, to her at 7 years old, got away with it. Nothing was ever done about it, which has caused her to live her entire life believing that she just didn't matter. She didn't count. That she wasn't worthy. That she had no value. And her life has been, whole life has been affected by this, going from one primitive man to another, looking for love in all the wrong places, because the whole experience taught her a falsehood about what love is and what love does. So she couldn't even begin to know how to make any kind of choice that was valuable or constructive. And as her mother, I have had to go over and over and over this in my mind, because as the mother, I had the responsibility to see that my child was protected and vindicated, and yet I just didn't know what to do. In those days, those things were just swept under the rug. And I have to say, not in just those days. Today, these dreadful things are happening every day, and nothing is done about it. Nobody talks about it except in general terms. Family members are not prosecuted and sent to jail, humiliated and exposed to the rest of the family. And children are torn apart in their spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical bodies. All I knew to do in those days was to pray. And I was involved in a ministry then that believed in casting out of devils. This was the World Harvest Evangelistic Association, a worldwide ministry of SOZO salvation and healing. And the man who was the head of this ministry was Dr. Lester Sumrall. He's passed away now, but his teachings are still on television today. And I worked for him for 3.5 years, and I wrote all the outlines that were used, that he used to prepare these teachings. I wrote the outline, and then Dr. Sumrall would go into the television studio and tape the show using the outline for the 30-minute teaching. And I also ghost wrote many of the books that were available through the ministry, and I answered all of his personal mail. So I told this family member, I said, you go out to Dr. Sumrall and you get that filthy devil cast out of you. And I told him that if he didn't do it, I was going to tell everyone in the family what he did. Because at that time, it was all I knew to do. But today, I don't believe it was a devil. I believe it was just his own impure thoughts that he allowed. And those thoughts took up a power in his life that then prompted him to do these lewd acts on my daughter. And I would say to anyone right now who might be listening to me, if you have lewd thoughts about sexual behavior, if you look at porn or magazines that show sexual things and you're constantly filling your mind with these kinds of sexual thoughts, you are eventually going to do something that will harm and hurt another person. And I note that our society today constantly bombards our psyche with sexual stimulation and sexual insinuations and sexual connotations. I think it would be very hard to be a man today and be surrounded constantly by this sexual stimulation. And there is a current alarming statistic today also about married couples. More than 50% are not having regular sex, so this just adds to the pressures. And the volcano will eventually erupt, and there will be another sexually molested child or woman or family member or date rape or jail rape or abduction and or any other harmful and abusive traumatic experiences for someone. And what can we do? What could I do even today? This family member is now dead, but the trail of blood is still bleeding in my daughter's life. Now she is finally beginning to get the help that she needs, and she is going to work with Cheyenne Dakota. And I want to give out her email, because if you've been sexually molested or used and abused sexually, please try to get some help. And Cheyenne has very special gifts and talents to help the abused person begin to get a new sense of themselves that is not connected to the past. And Cheyenne Dakota's email is Cheyenne_happy_valley_farm@yahoo.com. Cheyenne's Happy Valley Farm at yahoo.com with underscores in between each word. And you know what? The past can be a powerful resistance in our life. Because when I was thinking about going on this trip to Arizona and the Grand Canyon with my oldest daughter, I had a flood of memories come up from the past. And I almost called my daughter and told her I was just not going to be able to go on the trip. Because I remember other trips we had taken. The time when we were sequestered for 7.5 hours on an airplane together in a blizzard in Indianapolis on a small commuter plane where the bathroom quickly filled up and there was no food or water and babies crying. And another time when we were at the Indianapolis 500 and a terrible storm was coming down US 40 that had a tornado in it. And it was coming right straight for the track. And they came over the loudspeaker system and said for everyone to leave the track. And we were caught in this terrible traffic trying to get far enough north where we would be out of the path of the tornado. And then another time when we were in Dallas and there was this awful storm and we had to go on a plane to go to Omaha to go to my granddaughter's graduation, and this was the only flight that could get us there in time. And we had to get onto that plane without knowing whether the plane was going to be able to take off or not. And all of these traumatic experiences began a whirlwind of energy creating a morphic field of fear and terror, and I almost had a panic attack. I couldn't get my breath, and I just started feeling like I just couldn't take the trip and be exposed again to any possibilities of more terrible experiences. But, you know, now I have better ways of dealing with these kinds of things. And so I just took the emotional freedom therapy tapping solution that I have learned. It's called EFT. If you want to look it up and learn how to do it. And I just began tapping and reassuring myself and releasing myself from the past. So that was all in the past. There was no immediate danger, and there was no absolute set in stone for sure proof that anything like that had happened in the past would ever happen again. So I just began to relax, and I began to speak positive ideas. This is going to be a wonderful trip. We will drive to Williams quickly and easily. We will enjoy all of the beautiful scenery along the way. We will take the train to the Grand Canyon and have a wonderful time. And we're going to stay in a beautiful cabin in the woods, out in the beauty of nature. And we'll see millions of stars at night. And we'll just enjoy each other and create a beautiful memory together. And we'll take pictures all along the way to document our trip. And soon I was peaceful and looking forward to this wonderful experience. And it was. Everything went perfectly. We had perfect weather to drive there. You know, Williams is at 7,000 feet, and it's March. And there can be snow, lots of snow. But we had gorgeous, sunny, almost warm, like 45-degree weather. And the train ride went perfectly. The scenery was spectacular. Nothing from the past was allowed to come into the present to ruin anything, because that's what I chose. The Bible says to keep the past in the past. And a friend of mine called yesterday who was projecting into the present a lot of her old feelings that she has about stuff that's happened in the past between her and her husband. He had been on a trip and was coming home that day. And she was creating an environment of suspicion and accusation that he was going to walk into the minute he opened that door to come home. And I asked her, do you want to bring all that stuff from the past into your current relationship that you and your husband have been able to create together over the last couple years? Do you want to see all of that progress go down the drain? Could you possibly greet your husband in an atmosphere of love and delight that he is home and you missed him and you're just so glad to see him and welcome him with open arms? And she said, no, she couldn't. And I said, well, you're going to let the past ruin today. And that is a shame, because the past is past. There is nothing we can do about the past. That is one thing we cannot change. But we have total control and absolute power to make today exactly what we want it to be. But she would have to change her mind. She would have to want to keep a good relationship with her husband and give him the benefit of the doubt and treat him like he was the dedicated partner of trust that the two of them had developed together over the last 2 years, and put the past in the past and not let the past be the power for her happiness today. And I told her how I had changed my perspective about my trip, and how just changing my thoughts about it allowed me to experience a wonderful and perfect trip with my daughter, because I kept the past in the past and I didn't let it dictate my future. So we can't change the past. We can't change another person. But we can change the way we think about another person. We can change our perspective about today and create a future we desire. And that will be everything we've ever wanted for ourselves. And we can treat other people the way we would like for them to be and not think negative about them or hold them to patterns that they have produced in the past. A person can change one thing in their life, and this will change everything in their life and in everybody else's life. Just one person making one teeny tiny change will change everything. We live in a tremendously sensitive, alive, and aware universe. Everything in our universe is in contact with everything else. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there a sound? Of course there is a sound. And that sound resonates throughout the forest. And other trees know that they have lost a brother, the rabbits and the moles and the ants rocked with the sound and maybe had to restructure their homes. The foxes and the deers turned toward the sound, wondering if there might be a new food source for them. Everything is connected. And there is a website on the internet that's called change.org. It's a place where anyone can go and set up a process for something they want to change. And over 64,710,543 people have done just that. There's a lot of change going on. Well, the medieval Latin word for change is alterare, A-L-T-E-R-A-R-E, and it's where we get the English word alter, to alter, the verb to alter, and the noun alter, A-L-T-A-R, the altar. So isn't it interesting that the bride walks down the aisle to the altar to get married? That's one of the biggest changes we make in our life. And isn't it interesting that when Billy Graham used to be on television, and I think some of his crusades still are, that he would invite the people to come to the altar to make a decision for Jesus Christ. This was a moment for them to make a change in their life, to change their ideas about being a sinner and unworthy, unacceptable and unloved, and to change that image of themselves into the person who was loved and who was totally justified and vindicated, totally free from condemnation and judgment. And this is a tremendously necessary change that everyone needs to have. And today there are just so many ways to be able to change our image of ourselves and begin to expand the intelligence of our heart. Leave the past in the past and go forward into becoming a fully functioning, superhuman, fifth-dimensional, charismatic being operating on all levels of local and cosmic interaction in peace and harmony and joy and happiness. Does that sound good to you? It's possible, and it all starts with one teeny tiny little step. Change just one teeny tiny little thing in your life and watch the grand and glorious domino effect. Well, this is Marcy Ann. My music is by visionarymusic.com. This music is designed specifically to help you make changes in your life. And so I'm going to say aloha now. And aloha in the Hawaiian language is a wonderful word. It means hello, goodbye, and I love you.